Hey folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Hey, this is the Tornado Tony Pennekill. And that's Psychic Tom Padgett.
It's
crystal ball ready to go.
Yeah, we got a big new year coming up, Tom, so maybe we'll have to have you predict the future there. What's going to happen in 2018?
Yes, sir.
Well, we got actually a couple events to talk about, and I've been waiting all week to tell this story because this is crazy. I don't know if you guys are even going to believe this, but I'm sure none of you have ever smoked crack, right?
Not that I can remember.
Well, if you did, you might still have a chance to get into the UFC, because there's a story here about this Brazilian, Priscila Cachoeira. She hasn't thrown a single punch inside the octagon, but she can already be considered a contender, because they recently created a new women's flyweight division. And they don't have any established names or records to populate it, but it's pretty much the Wild West. And basically, this woman, Cachoeira, she says, I spent a long time using crack, more than 3 years. My biceps were the size of my wrist. Crack almost killed me. I prayed for a way out. I wanted to stop. I knew I was dying. I knew I was killing myself, but I couldn't stop. My body kept asking for more drugs, and I couldn't control myself. After eventually being rescued by her family, Cachoeira, a former standout volleyball player, found her way to mixed martial arts, where she promptly compiled a perfect 8-0 record with 4 knockouts. And this was much to the disbelief of those around her. And she said, 2 years ago when I decided I was going to fight, I told my brother that I would become a UFC fighter in 3 years. He laughed. You're crazy. You don't even know how to punch. He kind of doubted me, and here I am 2 years later. When I promise something, I do it. So, I thought she was going to be, it says this weekend's fight here for some reason. Heading into this weekend's fight, but, then it ends by saying that she's going to face 115-pound title contender Valentina Shevchenko as part of the UFC Belém showcase this February in Brazil. So, I don't know if she has a separate fight this weekend, but that's pretty poor writing to end it like that. It blows me away when these main sites, MMAmania.com, can't even clearly write a finishing paragraph here. I mean, come on, guys. These guys are probably getting paid, too. Nuts. And then we go to a former UFC fighter, Ian McCall. He's going to be the co-main event at the Ryzen fights, R-I-Z-I-N, this weekend. And there's a Bantamweight Grand Prix going on. He's the co-main event in that tournament there, part of that tournament. But his opponent ended up not liking the way he was making fun of him at the weigh-ins. So I guess this guy, Manel Cape, dope-slapped him. And then McCall gave him a jab, although he says it was open-handed. He gave him a quick shot to the face, and then Cape tried to throw a punch back, and McCall dodged it, and then they separated him. But I don't think he would have got away without a fine if he did that in the UFC.
You know, you have to wonder about a guy with the nickname that McCall has. You know,
Uncle Creepy.
You're familiar with his nickname, right?
Yeah, Uncle Creepy. We actually almost got him on the show. He was represented by, what's his name there? Ken Pavia, when he was an agent. And the guy that took over from him was going to set him up with us, but he had some issues with scheduling or something like that. Anyway, he's got a record of 13-4-1, and he was released from the UFC in October. And quickly signed by Ryzen. He hasn't fought since a loss to John Lineker in January of 2015. He did have some concussion issues, too. So I'm not sure if that's all cleared up, but I guess so, if he's ready to fight. And I thought the funniest thing about the clip that they have on here was it's in Japan, you know, so there's a freaking cup of noodles with black gloves on in the background, and he's got just his legs hanging out and his arms hanging out of the cup. like a mascot. And he's standing there behind the two of them looking like an idiot. It's funny. But yeah, that's going on this weekend. Or it's tomorrow night, actually. I guess it's overseas. I don't know exactly where it is. Of course, that's another thing they didn't tell you in this article. And it says Saturday at Sunday. Oh, second day of the Ryzen event, Sunday. So, today is Thursday. If the first day is Saturday, I don't know why they're saying tomorrow. I guess it's, maybe it's Friday wherever they're having it right now. The way in. I guess that happened today. I don't know. Because of the time difference, I guess. And, of course, we've got UFC 219 coming up this weekend. The big female fight, Christian Justino versus Holly Holm. Cyborg is the most well-known nickname there for Justino. She's 18-1, fighting Holly Holm, who's 11-3. And Holly's just, she's had some stumbling blocks. But, you know, she's at one of the best camps in the world, so if anybody can beat Justino in the UFC, it's probably Holly. Because as much as Justino is a come-forward, punch-you-in-the-head, and take you down and choke you out kind of fighter, she doesn't throw a lot of kicks. So I think either she's going to have to add those to her game or learn how to defend them, because Holly is very good with the kicks. But I think it'll be a very interesting fight, you know. I would think that Holly is going to really try to stay at a distance, too. So I don't think she's going to, like, purposely engage toe-to-toe for any big period of time unless she has to, because she's against the fence. But hopefully it's going to be, like, you know, a tactical fight, because if it's a slugfest, Justino's going to walk away with it. Not that I don't want her to win. I mean, I don't care who wins.
Yeah, it's not like this is Holly's first fight, too. You know, she's very experienced, and I love, you know, from her boxing days, she's got that lateral movement, and that can confound someone. So, I mean, I'm sure Cyborg is working on cutting the ring off, but it's not going to be easy.
Right. And one of the superstars of the UFC, who's had some big weight troubles in the past, is in the co-main event, Khabib Nurmagomedov, 24-0 is his record, fighting Edson Barboza, who's 19-4. And of course, in this situation, you'd love to go with the undefeated fighter, but you know, you got ring rust in effect. You've got, you know, is he going to make weight? Weigh-ins tomorrow. So, we'll have to see. But you'd think that if he doesn't make weight this time, they'd probably find a way to release him. So,
yeah,
a lot of pressure there.
I would, from everything I've heard, his weight's on point, so we'll find out. But this is a dangerous fight for him. And I think he would be severely in error if he's looking past Barboza.
Yeah.
And talk about a clash of styles. This goes back to the early UFCs. This is a real clash of styles.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that one. Actually, one of my girlfriend's kids asked me who I had in that fight the other day. I didn't even know what was going on. That's how behind I was. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then we got another female fight. Cynthia Calvillo, 6-0, fighting Carla Esparza, 12-4. And Esparza also had some ups and downs in the division there. She came out of the Ultimate Fighter looking really good, and then just basically couldn't hold on to the title, and couldn't get a hold of it. So she's trying to make her way back up there, and Calvillo being undefeated at 6-0, it's a great opportunity for her. And we'll see what happens there. Not too familiar with Calvillo's style, but I want to say she's the one that that was Bellator. Sorry. I'm thinking of a different person. Definitely. I thought she was the kickboxer that dismantled Heather Hardy. But no, I think she was 8-0 or something. Or 8-1, something like that. And Carlos Condit's also back, another Jackson Winklejohn tutor, or pupil, I should say. He's 30-10, fighting Neil Magny, 19-6. And that's talk about styles. You know, that's definitely crazy different styles there. And at one point, you know, after Condit's last fight, I thought he was going to retire. But, you know, he took a few days and months to think about it and obviously decided to get back at it. So, now, sixth fight of the night, we have Michael Oleksiyuk. I'm probably butchering that one. That's one of the tougher ones. Yikes, 12-2. I'd hate to be his grade school teacher, having to spell that all the time. He's fighting Khalil Roundtree, 6-2. Then we've got Mark Diakiezi, 12-1, fighting Dan Hooker, 14-7. And a guy we haven't heard from in a while, Miles Jury, 16-2, fighting Rick Glenn, who's got a record of 20 wins, 4 losses, and 1 draw. It's a heck of a record to be way down on the undercard. Third fight of the night, Luis Smolka, 11-4, fighting Mateus Nicolau Pereira, who is 12-1-1. Then we got Marvin Vittori, 12-3, fighting Omari Akhmedov, who is 17-4. And first fight of the night, great records too here. Mark De La Rosa, 9-0, fighting Tim Elliott, who's 14-8-1. And let's see. Carlos Condit, I'm just looking at his record real quick. His last fight was against Demian Maia back in August of last year, 2016. So it's been over a year since he's fought, and that was a rear naked choke submission, very first round, 1 minute and 52 seconds into that. And then before that, of course, he had a 5-round war, split decision loss to Robbie Lawler. So those kind of fights back-to-back will make you rethink your career for sure.
That Lawler fight was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I thought he pulled it out. And it just has to be discouraging. And then to get stopped in the first round, no disgrace, but yeah, you're right. Back-to-back, that was a lot.
And let's see. Really didn't have any crazy big fights last weekend. Went over them on the show, that got erased, but we had, let's see. The biggest one would have to be, yeah, they only go to Thursday tonight. That's tonight, so the 22nd. I don't even recognize any of these names. Let's just go to the schedule. A lot of foreign fights this weekend. Give me a second. And now while we're waiting to find the big fights here, I did want to kind of reiterate what I said last week that we didn't get on the show with Eddie Chambers. We had his whole interview, but the first part of the show got wiped out. And I was talking about the Robbie Lawler Dos Anjos fight, and how, you know, a lot of people would think, oh, it's a great fight, it's war, you know, both guys are slugging it out, this guy won't go down. But the more I see those fights, the more I almost don't want to see those fights, because, I mean, it just makes you wonder what is going to happen to this guy once he retires. You had an NFL player make some waves recently, talking about how he's sure he has CTE a few weeks ago, and, you know, all the kinds of things that are happening to him that makes him think that, and you can't really tell whether someone has that until they're dead, unfortunately, but, you know, he's exhibiting all the symptoms and, you know, having a tough time with it. And I think a lot of UFC fighters are going to end up in that position. And I don't think there's much set up to protect or help them when they get to that point. You know, unless they really save their money and invest. I thought it was kind of funny that they announced a big announcement about how they're improving the Reebok sponsorships, but only for the lower tiered fighters. They might get another grand off the top from the sponsorship. But I mean, what's that going to pay for? That might pay for like one flight and hotel room for the guys' corner people.
It's just ridiculous.
$1,000, you know. Big, huge, giant conglomerate. They're going to give the new fighters just $1,000 more. Nuts. But anyway, we got a big Saturday event over in Kanagawa, Japan. WBO and WBC titles on the line in the top two fights. Naoya Inoue, 14-0, fighting Yoan Boyo, who is 41-4 for the WBO World Super Flyweight title there. Ken Shiro, 11-0, fighting Gilberto Pedroza, who's 18-3-2 for the WBC World Light Flyweight title. And I'm not sure what it stands for, but I'm sure the OP in this is Oriental Pacific, maybe? Maybe Boxing Federation is the BF? OPBF featherweight title on the line here between Satoshi Shimizu, 4-0, and Eduardo Mancito, who's 15-7-2. And then to round out, there's another Inoue. Must be brothers. Takuma Inoue, 9-0, fighting Kentaro Masuda, who's 27-8. No title on the line there. You even got fights going on in Kazakhstan this weekend. We got a couple female fights actually leading the card. Firuza Sharapova, 7-1, fighting Jamila Gontaruk, who is 13-4-1. That's for the vacant International Boxing Organization World Female Super Featherweight title and the vacant WBC Silver Female Super Featherweight title. Now that's got to be weird. You got a world title belt and then you've got a silver belt at the same time. If you win that one. It's kind of crazy.
Nothing's weird anymore. You know, you got silver belts, diamond belts, interim belts. Name it, there's a belt for it. June belts.
I still think the funniest one was the machismo belt that your buddy won.
I remember that. Who won that again?
I forget. One of your good buddies we had on the show. Chuck something, I think. I don't know. Was it Chuck?
Chuck Masaccio, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yes. Because it almost rhymed with his name. Machismo Masaccio.
Oh, okay.
Oh, before I forget too, Tony, I wanted to give you a spur-of-the-moment pop quiz trivia question and see if your Rain Man skills are up to par. For those of you not familiar listening to the show, we call Tony the Boxing Rain Man because he's so good with boxing facts. Random boxing facts sometimes. Yeah, definitely. So anyway, I saw this on Johnny Carson the other night. There was some Boston comedian. For some reason, I clicked on it. It was from the old Johnny Carson show. And they had a very famous comedian on there from back in the day. I don't think he's... I'm pretty sure he's no longer with us. But he had one big amateur boxing fight at the YMCA when he was growing up. And I want to see if you know... Who was it that fought under the fighting name Packy East? So I gave you a clue. Packy East. He was a big-time comedian, no longer with us. And that was his
fighting name. I know it, but let's let Tony answer it. Okay, Canadian, no longer with us.
Not a Canadian. Comedian.
Comedian.
Comedian. Okay. Like, haha.
Jerry Lee Lewis?
No. No. Nope. One more guess.
Okay. Comedian no longer with us. Fought at one fight under the name Pax Beat. Oh, man. You said it was on the Johnny Carson show, so it wouldn't be him.
Think Great White what?
Bob Hope?
Yes, there you go.
No.
Bob Hope, yeah, that was a funny story.
Wow.
He said something about the other guy's nickname, and I forget what it was, but it was pretty funny. I'll have to find that and play it on the show sometime. That little segment. But if you want to see it, you can look it up. It's a Johnny Carson show. The comedian that they had as a guest on the show was a guy named Jimmy Tingle. And his bit wasn't really that great, but that's why I ended up watching it. And they pretty much had the whole show on there. But Bob Hope was a guest. So anyway, getting back to the schedule. The other fight over there in Kazakhstan for the interim WBC World Female Super Welterweight title. Sagaid Akovskaya, 6-0, fighting Jennifer Retsky. I want to guess she's Russian. Russian or Polish, I guess. Jennifer Retsky, 16-3-1. That's her record. Nothing really else jumping out from the undercard. Here's a great boxing name. Guy fighting in Russia. Joey Vegas. He doesn't have a great boxing record. He's 20-15-3. Fighting Arsen Aziev, who's 6-0. Over in Moscow. And we got a pretty decent one and another one in Tokyo on Sunday. Ryuichi Taguchi, 26-2-2, fighting Milan Melindo, who's 37-2. That's for the IBF World Light Flyweight title and the WBA Super World Light Flyweight title. Not to be confused with the WBA Super World Super Light Flyweight title. That'd be funny. And then we got some other titles on the card. Hiroto Kayoguchi, 8-0, fighting Carlos Buitrago, who is 30 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. That's for the IBF World Minimum Weight title. And Sho Kimura, 15-1-2, fighting Toshiyuki Irigashi, 23-2-3 for the WBO World Flyweight title there. So a bunch of little guys over there in Japan. Big surprise. And that's pretty much it till next week. We got a big one on Friday from Denmark. Copenhagen. Lolenga Mock in the main event. She's 41-14-1 fighting Dmitry Chudinov. Well, I guess Lolenga's a guy. I think Dmitry's a guy's name. Dmitry Chudinov, 21-2. 20 wins, 1 loss, 2 draws. And no title on the line there, but there is a couple titles in the... one title in the co-main event, another one in the fight after that. Co-main event, Jonas Madsen, 11-0, fighting Andreas Lindgaard, who's 5-0 for the IBF Youth Light Heavyweight title. And Sven Fornling, 12-1, fighting Jeppe Morel, who's 8-1, for the IBF Baltic Light Heavyweight title. So that's pretty much it. Short show tonight, I guess. I really don't have any other big topics to discuss. Unless you guys got anything?
Well, you know what, we're coming to an end of another year now. Like I said, I hope you guys had a good holiday. Got a few things on the horizon that I'm looking at right now. I was, a few weeks ago, I worked a Christmas dinner with Hank Cisco, the 94-year-old gentleman that was in my boxing video. And he had me stop over one night, because his house is literally about half mile from the tree lot that I worked during the season.
Right.
So, I stopped up there, we went over a few things, he was showing me some of his memorabilia, the photo of him throwing Muhammad Ali out of the ring, the photo of him refereeing Joe Frazier, and he has me, he asked me to do some, like, short writing clips for him. So, we discussed a few ideas. Hopefully we'll be able to, when the weather breaks a little bit, and, you know, not Antarctica, we can have a, another face-to-face meeting. So hopefully the start of the year, like, after this weekend, I want to go into hibernation for a little bit, you know, just get back to my training, because all I've been doing, you know, is just working and working. My working out is just thinking of doing the Rich Bergeron workout of lifting trees. And a lot of walking. So, this is giving me time to, you know, recruit myself a little bit. Training, match stuff tonight. He wanted to drop something off for me. And he was coming off a real sore back. And he just passed that test that he was going for to be a drug recognition expert with the police department, where if he examines anybody under the potential influence of narcotics, he can accurately identify what they're on, and his testimony will be that of a medical professional. So, he had been away for a little bit. I'm happy to say he'll be coming back soon. I talked to Amy Hollywood. She'll be coming back soon. And I got a few other people that I'm potentially lining up. So, the boxing is going to be booming again at the start of the year.
All right. Yeah, I keep reading about my old coach up there in Maine getting his butt kicked. Fight after fight. So I think he needs me. I think I need to go up there and train with him at some point and get his hands up to par, and then he can get me my wrestling back and teach me some jiu-jitsu, because it seems like he's always getting TKO'd or, you know, punched out. So he's a good fighter. He's just, I don't know. Just can't put string the wins together. They got another event in February for New England Fights. Probably will not get on that one, but it'd be a good time to get up there and train with those guys when the firewood season winds down. So I really do still want to get my amateur fight. It just didn't happen this year. Shingles. I blame the shingles, but it was a lot of things. That set me back quite a bit.
Another different sports-related topic I'd like to ask you guys is one question. I know it's not, you know, the closest in proximity right now, but would you both be willing to come to Philadelphia for the Team Tornado Fantasy Football Championship Parade? I think I'm going to take the prestigious trophy that I won this past week.
I'll jump on my corporate jet. I'll be there.
Broad Street, so the Philadelphia Parades. No, but I think I'm going to go down Market Street right past my office so I can wave to all my coworkers. But yes, you guys do work with greatness.
Is it like that show, what's that show where they do fantasy football all the time? The fuck is it called? I don't know. It's a comedy show, though. And they have this gigantic trophy.
Our league is a comedy sometimes. We had a little rough patch this year. We have one guy, and we were actually designing a trophy just for him because he would come in last place every year.
Oh, well, they had one of those, too, yeah. They had the last place trophy. Yeah. It was a giant set of nuts.
Well, this one, they were making the guy a trophy, which was a big toilet bowl that says "you stink" on it. And this guy was always so bad. Like, he would drink the guy with, like, the fifth pick that most people had projected in, like, the 10th round. And then he would lose every week. We'd all make fun of him. Like, I would say he need to win a game, dial 1-800-PLAY-PUT. Well, this year he ended up fielding a really good team because he couldn't make it to the draft and someone else drafted in his place. The funny part about it was he hates the Eagles. He's a diehard Niners fan. Hates the Eagles. The guy that drafted him drafted almost all Eagles. But sadly, I'll be attending Puck's funeral this weekend.
Oh, that sucks.
You're not a healthy guy. Big guy, 500 plus pounds.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of health issues when you're that weight, you know, diabetes, blood issues, high blood pressure and all that. Second week of the tree season, you know, the first weekend he was there helping us set up, fixing things, doing whatever. second week, you know, for the sciatica. Okay, he won't be here today. Stop taking his other medicine. Put him into basically a stroke. And he was improving, and then took a turn for the worst. And it was one day, we were working, it was busy, because the night before we had a snowstorm, so everybody wanted to come out Friday, was coming out Saturday, and next thing you know, the owner's leaving, and two of our workers are going to the other spot to take over for his kids. And, I mean, we were swamped that day out of our freaking mind, but, you know, so, this weekend, instead of making fun of him, you know, for his terrible fantasy football, you know, we gotta say goodbye. And that sucks, but at least I can say I won the title in his honor.
There you go. Hey, let's dedicate the show to him. It's rough. Yeah, it's one of those things, once it gets out of hand, it's really tough to get weight off like that. My girlfriend, actually, for some reason, ends up always tuning into that My 600-Pound Life show. And,
yeah, I heard of that. I've watched it.
I've watched it a few times, and some of those folks, you know, usually they really have a tough time at the beginning. But once they get into it, they you know, they're on the show because they have lost a lot of weight. And there was one guy, they had a two-part episode on him, and he was horrible. Like, he ended up, they had to forbid him from getting any more meds because he was doctor shopping.
Wow.
Basically, and just looking for painkillers because he would just sit around all day and do painkillers. And then one day, he was on his own. After the treatment, the doctor gave up on him, and he just started pouring all the sodas down the sink. Now this is turning point. So you never know what it's going to be and when it's going to happen. But you know, it's just one of those things. You really have to take it seriously if you're going to turn the corner and go backwards on that kind of a weight gain.
Yeah.
It's rough. Anyway, we got 2018 right around the corner. Sunday night, New Year's Eve. You guys got any predictions for next year in the combat sports world?
Oh, I was just going to say prediction. Pain. There's my prediction. Pain.
Pain. There you go. Well, that's guaranteed. Can't go wrong there.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm going to be right then.
How many times do you think Conor McGregor's going to box next year?
Well, they're trying to get him that one fight with Manny Pacquiao, so I'm going to think either 0 to 1.
Yeah. Well, we also... actually, the other night, I was at Applebee's. And looked up at the TV, Jeopardy's on, and Conor McGregor was the subject of a question on Jeopardy, so he's moving up in the world.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
The George Jefferson. You know, I do wonder how long Conor can go without defending his title in the UFC before they forget this interim stuff and just strip him of the title.
Well, I mean, they took a five-minute TMZ interview and they pretty much put it all over the internet saying that Conor is going to be doing an MMA fight next because he said, oh, I'm thinking about a real fight next. And they are saying that he's going to fight Tony Ferguson.
Okay,
and,
so he's going to forget about the Paulie Marginale challenge in boxing, huh?
Yeah.
And then how about poor little Mighty Mouse challenging Mayweather?
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
MMA,
no grappling.
An MMA fight with no grappling.
Yeah.
You know
what that reminds me of is Ray Mercer, our former guest, knocking out Kimbo.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That was crazy.
Well, it's just kind of sad because...
Not Kimbo. It was Tim Sylvia.
Mighty Mouse is just so desperate, and there's no one that even knows who he is outside of the small MMA circle. So it's a no-win situation for Floyd Mayweather. There'd be no money in that thing, and if God forbid Mayweather would come up short, he lost to a smaller guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you think of the McGregor fight, Floyd was going up in weight again. Because McGregor had fought at 170 before.
Also, I mean, how would you regulate that? I mean, it would really have to be informal. And the UFC would never allow that, so.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I'm hearing that, and I'm thinking just how desperate does Johnson have to be for, you know, it just sounded pathetic to me. It sounded like just a howl of desperation, like a Cleveland Browns fan in the parking lot after their 0-0.
That might be the only way that Johnson can get a shitload of people to watch one of his fights, right? He's
well,
a tough draw.
Well, I mean, I've even seen when he's the main event, a lot of people are leaving.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's frustrating, but it's just he's stuck in that. And I think his only chance to get out of it was that accepting the T.J. Dillashaw challenge, and he didn't do it. He wanted to break some bullshit record that no one's ever going to. No one knows about now.
And of course,
since we
didn't get last week's show on the air, I should obviously mention that my idea that you guys didn't think was so funny, even though I thought it was a great joke. CM Punk versus Floyd Mayweather. And the more I thought about it after you guys started chatting, I thought that was a great idea. You know, there would be a good draw for both guys, and it would probably be very evenly matched, you know, even though CM Punk has a little head start on Floyd. But, you know, the boxing is a big part of it, so I think Floyd would have a chance.
I'll tell you what, I would rather see that than this Mighty Mouse thing, which is a figment of Mighty Mouse's imagination. I mean, probably, I haven't heard about it in any mainstream news. It was just a story on
the It'd be like one of the original UFCs where a wrestler goes against a boxer, right?
I
don't know if Floyd would wear one glove, though. I don't think they'd allow that. One boxing glove, one MMA glove.
One glove, Jimerson. Yeah. Or have the one MMA glove. Yeah, that would be classic.
What else did we forget? My other idea for Floyd Mayweather would be the way that Kimbo got into the UFC, because Dana made an ultimatum to Kimbo, yeah, you can come into the UFC if you fight your way through the Ultimate Fighter. And of course he did. And got into the UFC and ended up in Bellator after that. But it would be interesting if Dana could set that up and have Floyd come in with a whole team of boxers
trying to make
the transition.
Now that we're on this topic, it was interesting last night. It came up on UFC Tonight about Mayweather had talked something about that, but the talks have broken off, and it looks like that's not going to happen. And the question was it Mayweather's ego, was it money, or was it the skill set? And in my opinion, it was a combination of all three.
Well, I really think, you know, a lot of people laughed at him when he said during the press conferences leading up to the McGregor fight that, you know, he said, maybe next we'll go into the octagon. You know, he said it a few times, and a lot of people thought he was just making a joke, but I think he really seriously wants to do that, just to prove to himself that he can win an MMA fight. And, you know, no matter who it's against, it would be a big, you know, big deal for him to do that, but for him to even get out of bed in the morning, it's like $1 million payday. He's got at least, you know, $1 million a minute, pretty much, lately. So he's not going to take UFC money to do that. It would have to be just ridiculous money. And I'm sure his idea of $1 billion was a little short-sighted, because he doesn't know the finances of the UFC, and he probably just heard the fact that they sold for $4 billion, so he thinks that they can, you know, come up with $1 billion to get him to sign a three-fight deal or something. But that's just never going to happen.
I just couldn't see that happening, and I think his ego's too big for it, and I think he would be in for somewhat of a surprise when it comes to the skill set. I think that the only type of boxer that could succeed is a guy with a big punch. Floyd really doesn't have that. I just don't think we'll see it.
Well, especially at the UFC level. I mean, Bellator might be a better fit for him, I would think, but Bellator is not going to pay him as well either, so I don't think it'll ever happen. But just It would be incredible, I think, for his legacy, just to see him try it. You know, I'd give him a lot of credit.
But again, would Floyd's ego allow something like the King of the Cage or something like that, starting off at that lower level after the heights that he's been at? He would almost have to start the highest levels of MMA. Yeah. I think it would be disastrous for him. And I don't think his ego would allow that. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
The only guy that I can think of that would be comparable would be Herschel Walker, as far as age and physicality. And Herschel, I think, still is looking for one more MMA fight. He's got to be almost 50 now. So, it was pretty incredible to see him.
What is his record?
Herschel?
No,
I don't know. I can look it up.
I'm telling you, Herschel's not more than 50, because I saw him at Eagles training camp back in 1992, and he'd already been in the league for a good 5 or 6 years at that point. And that was, what, 25 years ago?
1992, yes, sir.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's at least 54.
So, there we go. Incredible physical. We'll have Herschel Walker versus, what's his name there? Evander Holyfield in an MMA fight on the same card as Mayweather versus whoever he fights. Herschel is 2-0. Fought back in Strikeforce on the Diaz versus Cyborg card. He beat Scott Carson by TKO in the first round, 3 minutes and 13 seconds in. Then he put him up against Greg Nagy in 2010 at Strikeforce Miami, and he won by TKO on that one, too, but it took him 3 rounds.
Okay, so the question is, he hasn't fought since 2010.
Right.
Wonder why.
2011.
If he was really serious about this, he'd have to be smart enough to realize the sand is just rapidly going out of his hourglass. And at that age, you don't take 7 years off and then make a comeback. It's, does it say what his age is on there?
55.
I was a year off.
Yep. So it was actually 2011. January 2011 was the last fight. So.
Okay, so this just...
Would be 7 years
seven
off
years.
Next month.
It can't make sense that he's in his late 40s and figure, well, I'll just make 6-7 years off. I know I'll be a lot better than him. It works like that.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. All right, well, I've pretty much run out of stuff to talk about, unless you guys got any other ideas.
Well, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year, gentlemen, and, you know, to a productive, profitable, healthy, and happy 2018.
You got it, bud. Let's enjoy this week.
We are going into 2018, right?
Yeah. Hard to believe. Where did the last 18 years go? I can still remember when I was a little kid, and me and my little sisters were sitting on the back porch talking about how old we were going to be in the year 2000.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now it's 2018. Yikes.
That's right.
Where did the time go? Anyway, yeah, I hope the new year is good for everybody. I'm definitely going to try to work on getting Fight News Unlimited beefed up a little bit, getting more money opportunities for us. I did try to get us on on Podcast One, big podcast company that's actually advertising on TV now. But they say you got to have 40,000 listens for every show. So I think our record was 20,000 for Hector Camacho Jr. We might be able to get it. I don't have a way to track it right now because I host it on the website. But if I went back to Blog Talk Radio, we could build up the fan base to that much. Then, yeah, we could probably do that by the end of the year. But it would be a big effort. Anyway, high hopes. Someday we'll make it big. I do have a lot of writing going on the side, so I can invest some into some marketing here and there. So we'll see what happens. All right.
All right. Well, gentlemen, as I said, Happy New Year, and to next week in 2018.
Happy Haven.
Yep.
All right, guys.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Catch you next year.
Yeah, next year.